This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Violence begins. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, February 18th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Shelling is being reported in eastern Ukraine by both Ukrainian armed forces and separatists loyal to Russia.
The Senate has given final approval to another stopgap spending measure to cover government expenses, this time until March 11th.
Canadian police are planning to end protests in Ottawa, where people are demonstrating against government vaccine mandates for truckers.
And examples of when one partner goes back to work, the agreements formed while working from home go out the door, like the guy who finally gets to sing out loud again.
She would tolerate his music for about 20 minutes, and then she'd be like, okay, back to my playlist. And so she's back in the office now. He is home alone, and he is blasting out, you know, Chili Peppers. He's playing air guitar on his son's baseball bat. He's singing. Like, he's just this, he's 36, and he's like, I'm reliving my glory days.
Veronica Dagger at the Wall Street Journal on the home office, getting loud again. Violence has erupted in eastern Ukraine, where separatists backed by Russia and authorities in Kiev are trading accusations over ceasefire violations along the front line. This may fit what President Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken have warned about, fabricating a pretext for Russia to invade. Mr. Blinken spoke at the United Nations.
Our information indicates clearly that these forces, including ground troops, aircraft, ships, are preparing to launch an attack against Ukraine in the coming days.
Meanwhile, pro-Russia rebels in Ukraine accused government forces of shelling a village earlier today, while Russian media reported more infantry and tank units were returning to their bases. At the UN, meanwhile, Russia formally leveled allegations that Russian leaders have repeated in recent weeks that Ukraine is pursuing a genocide against Russian speakers. Western officials dismiss those accusations as a disinformation effort to justify military action. The Senate has passed a measure that funds the government through March 11th, avoiding the shutdown of federal agencies. To approve it, Democrats defeated a measure from Utah Republican Mike Lee that barred the enforcement of vaccine mandates for the federal workforce and military. Also dismissed was an amendment from Texas Republican Ted Cruz to cut off federal funding for schools or child care centers that enforce vaccine mandates on children. A warning from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer before the vote.
Nobody here wants a Republican government shutdown. I dare say Republicans prefer not to have a Republican shutdown. But for that to happen, Republicans must keep working with us on an agreement to move quickly on a CR.
The CR, or continuing resolution, passed in a bipartisan vote of 65 to 27 and now goes to President Biden for his signature. It was needed because Congress so far has failed to pass any of the one dozen regular appropriations bills for the fiscal year that began last October. The protests in Canada may be winding down. Police there are poised to clear out hundreds of truck drivers today from Ottawa who have staged a three-week-long protest against pandemic restrictions that's crippled the capital. The drivers, joined by thousands of demonstrators and some 400 vehicles, turned the streets around Parliament into what Reuters calls a noisy party zone. Interim Ottawa Police Chief Steve Bell.
In the past few days, we've been communicating directly with the unlawful protesters. We've told them they must leave, and we have warned them the consequences of disobeying these rules.
Police made a handful of arrests last evening, including of Chris Barber, one of the main fundraisers and organizers, after authorities said action was imminent. He was arrested for mischief. The truckers' protests started against vaccine mandates for cross-border drivers, a measure in place in the U.S. as well, but slowly it spread across Canada and morphed into an anti-government movement. Protesters blocked several land crossings with the United States. Coming up next, Democrats desperate for direction on inflation.
Dell Technologies President's Day business sale has arrived. For a limited time, save up to 45% on all our latest gear to work from anywhere with fast free shipping. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, so now's the time for incredible savings on PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping and quick installation and setup through Dell Installation Services. Get started by shopping online or by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. President Biden's top economic advisor says several factors in the coming months, like dropping COVID cases, should help slow a steep rise in consumer prices over the last year. Cecilia Rouse, chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, spoke yesterday at a Senate Banking Committee hearing. Meanwhile, Democrats are struggling to come up with a comprehensive plan to combat inflation as Americans continue to be plagued by shrinking paychecks and higher prices. More on the internal tug of war from Harris Alec, congressional reporter at the Washington Times. Harris, explain it.
Well, so obviously, Democrats have been kind of thrown into a frenzy because this month the Bureau of Labor Statistics released a new report showing that inflation has spiked about 7.5% over the past year. That's like the highest rate since 1982, the highest rate in 40 years. Americans are starting to feel the significant crunch on their paychecks. Their purchasing power is growing significantly less and less, and people are starting to become angry at what's happening with inflation in the national economy. And Democrats have been kind of caught off guard by this because the entire way they've talked about this issue since it first reared its head last year was that it was transitory, that it was only going to be a short-term thing, that they blamed it on the lingering effects of COVID, which I think obviously have some issues because you can't shut down the national economy for months and have a supply chain crisis and not expect that prices are going to go up and there's going to be an increase in demand. Also there's a fact that the Congress spent about $5 trillion in the past 2 years, pumping some of that money directly into the economy. But Democrats have been kind of struggling to respond to this because for the most part, they have no significant inflation plan. And even right now, President Biden, for instance, is talking about restarting negotiations on his $1.75 trillion social welfare bill, the Build Back Better Act, which infamously failed last December because Joe Manchin was afraid that it would add to inflation. And now they're trying to resell it as an inflation fighter. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't think it's going to work very, very well. But at the same time, while Democrats are saying all of this stuff and while budget analysts and even figures like Larry Summers, the former Clinton-era Treasury Secretary, saying that Build Back Better would actually exacerbate inflation, Democrats on the Hill are kind of struggling to figure out what they want to do with it because they have no concrete plan. So some are saying, well, let's figure out a way to target prescription drug cost increases. Others are saying we need to suspend the gasoline tax, the federal gasoline tax, because people are paying too much money at the pump. Others are suggesting that this is all the response from greedy corporations who use the pandemic and the supply chain crisis to boost up prices and essentially price gouge.
Wasn't his response to all this too? Well, what have Republicans done, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he pointed out that Republicans haven't proposed anything major, and he's like, well, at least we have solutions. We don't have a big solution, but we have numerous solutions. Republicans, respond to that by saying, well, we're not the party in power. We're suggesting that instead of doing one-offs and instead of trying to control prices in specific areas, that you curb spending, you reopen domestic oil and gas exploration to help drive down the price of home heating fuel and gasoline. That you restore the Keystone Pipeline. That you do a lot of this other stuff that is particularly needed. But Democrats, they're very much struggling with this issue. And I think the problem is again, they were caught off guard with it from the beginning. Biden was saying it was transitory last August. Now they're saying, well, it's here to stay, and now we have to figure out a proper plan for it. Democrats understand that the timeline is ticking, that they face a very, very tough election in November where they might probably lose both houses of Congress. And I think right now they're having to figure out, are we going to do something about inflation? Are we going to come up with a plan that maybe isn't necessarily in our wheelhouse? Or are we going to still kind of stick by and try to do some of the political goals that we set during the 2020 election that we set last year?
We're speaking with Harris Alec, congressional reporter at the Washington Times. His story is called Democrats Struggle to Find Uniform Inflation Plan Amid Competing Ambitions. Finish up with who's after the prescription drug prices in all of this?
That's Warnock, and that's Senator Raphael Warnock from Georgia, and Catherine Cortez Masto, the senator from Nevada. Most of these solutions that are being pushed, these like kind of, you know, targeted one issue areas for inflation, are being pushed by a cadre of vulnerable Democrats who are facing really, really tough re-election battles this year. Warnock, of course, is facing Herschel Walker and a gamut of other Republicans who are attempting to make him a one-term senator. Masto is facing Adam Laxalt in Nevada. The gas tax holiday suspension plan is being pushed by Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and Mark Kelly in Arizona, and they too are facing these really, really tough re-election battles. And you know, that's kind of, you know, that's also kind of creating this weird diversion where a lot of the vulnerable Democrats want to do something, and a lot of the more more establishment Democrats, the Democrats who aren't facing re-election, like the Amy Klobuchars, like the Elizabeth Warrens, they say, well, we have to target price gouging. We've got to do something about the supply chain. We need a bigger issue here. And I think, to the benefit of Republicans, and potentially to the detriment of Democrats, Republicans have been quick to point out that, the gas tax suspension, the prescription drug stuff, a lot of this is being pitched as an election year solution in hopes that, it's going to help stave off the GOP wave. And I think voters are going to see that themselves.
Thanks, Harris. Harris Alec, congressional reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Ukraine-Russia crisis is at a pivotal moment as Ukraine accused pro-Russia separatists of attacking a village near the border. And Secretary of State Antony Blinken, speaking at the UN, made an urgent appeal against an invasion.
If Russia doesn't invade Ukraine, then we will be relieved that Russia changed course and proved our predictions wrong. That would be a far better outcome than the course we're currently on.
President Biden warned Russian leader Putin of extraordinary and crippling economic sanctions if the Kremlin proceeds with an attack.
Number two.
A massive storm system is bringing heavy snow, flooding, rainfall, and severe thunderstorms to large portions of the country. Heavy snow is hitting the Central Plains and Midwest. There was a 28-vehicle crash on Interstate 39 in Illinois, and numerous other cars slid off the road. Officials in New York warn a large section of that state could see flooding from ice jams.
Number three.
California has laid out a plan that manages COVID as a permanent aspect of life, anticipating future surges and new variants that may require temporary public health measures, such as face masks, depending on how much the virus is disrupting economic and social activity. Governor Gavin Newsom says his state is shifting out of the crisis mentality that has characterized the pandemic response for the past 2 years.
We move out of the pandemic phase, and we move into a phase which should allow you confidence that we are not walking away.
Newsom says there is no end date or a moment when we declare a victory. Hundreds of truckers clogging Canada's capital stood their ground and defiantly blasted their horns yesterday, even as police arrested two protest leaders and threatened to break up the nearly three-week protest against the country's COVID restrictions. Police continued negotiating with the protesters and trying to persuade them to go home. No sign of bats and gloves just yet as the start of Major League Baseball spring training has been delayed. Negotiations aimed at ending the lockout resumed yesterday at the office of the Players Association, but lasted only about 15 minutes. Opening day, set for March 31st, appears to be in jeopardy.
I gotta admit, I won't miss it. If it doesn't start till July.
That's because there's March Madness to think about. Come on.
Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour. We all have a lot going on. The last thing we need is to spend too much energy choosing what to wear. But if you have a closet full of Cuts clothing, it's easy. Throw on anything and you'll look good. How do they do it? Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit. They're insanely comfortable. I can't believe how soft their shirts feel. Between the fabric and the fit, they're the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, hoodies, polos, and more. And they reinvented them all, from how they're cut to the revolutionary fabrics they use. They won't shrink, pill, or fade over time in the wash. Mine still look and feel great. Try them for yourself and save. Join hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Thanks for spending time with us. Some Democratic lawmakers and the White House are reportedly considering the idea of a pause on the federal gas tax. Would that help with soaring prices at the pump? A constant reminder to voters about this difficult inflationary period. We're joined by Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, paint the picture.
As a starting point, just a little earlier this week, the average cost on a gallon of gas was $3.49. That's up more than a dime from a month ago, and that's a $1 increase from the same point last year. So rising costs are the problem, and what a handful of Democratic lawmakers think is a solution, or part of a solution, is putting a pause on the gas tax that gets poured into your costs when you fill up at the pump.
All right. How long would this vacation from the federal gas tax last? Is there any number out there?
Yeah. So according to this proposal, first off, the gas tax is 18.4 cents per gallon. States have their own gas taxes. The money goes to trust funds and funds for road upkeep. What this law would be doing, if it become, you know, if anything comes of it, it would pause the gas tax until for all of 2022, and then it just resumes again in 2023. And meanwhile, it would authorize a transfer of money from the federal government's general funds into the highway trust funds.
What do critics say about the proposed vacation from the federal gas tax?
Yeah, they don't think very highly of this thing at all. As I talked to one person who said, quote, it's just a horrible idea on every front. And we heard from other places and other reporting, Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, served in Clinton and Obama administrations, calling it goofy and gimmicky. I mean, they say it's, you know, number one, I mean, for starters, gas taxes, federal or state, whatever, they really don't account for what's driving up the costs. They make up, in 2019, it was like, I think, around 18% of your cost of gas. What really always drives the cost is the cost of crude oil.
You're speaking with Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called, Would a Federal Gas Tax Holiday Mean Lower Prices at the Pump? Critics say, don't bet on it. So I guess there's nothing that can be done at this point. Is that the general feeling?
Well, I guess the thing that can be done is, one thing that could be done is toning down the rhetoric in the Russia-Ukraine crisis. It doesn't look, frankly, right now like that is happening. We have Russia expelling the deputy chief of U.S. diplomatic missions in Moscow, you know, as we talk, and people are saying an invasion is imminent.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. So I got to say, 2022 kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Wake up, read a headline about inflation, repeat, right? Inflation, inflation, inflation on the rise at the fastest pace in 40 years. But you don't need to check the price of organic eggs to know it's probably not the best time to put all your investment eggs in one basket. I'm talking about diversifying your portfolio. And thanks to today's sponsor, Masterworks, you can now add an exciting asset class to your portfolio, blue chip artwork. Masterworks is the new investing platform that lets everyone invest in contemporary art from icons like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol. In fact, early investors already have seen over 30% net annualized IRR in 2020 and 2021 from the sale of two paintings. No wonder the Wall Street Journal recently called the art market among the hottest markets on earth. Our listeners can join over 300,000 members and access their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. That's masterworks.art/Gordon. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/disclaimer.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, February 18. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Violence unfolding in eastern Ukraine with both sides reporting shelling. Canadian police try to end the protests in Ottawa. Former President Trump says a judge ordering him and his two oldest children to comply with civil subpoenas in New York is a witch hunt. Transgender swimmer Leah Thomas, who swam for UPenn's men's team for 3 years, won the Ivy League women's title in the 500 freestyle by 7 seconds. And the 10-year-old making chemo comfort bags for cancer patients. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, many couples spent nearly 2 years as unexpected co-workers. That meant adjusting to each other's schedule and setting up guidelines for working together at home. Now, in many households, one person has returned to the office, leaving the other to break all those rules. Call it newfound freedom. Examples of the rule breakers from Veronica Dagger, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Veronica, what are you hearing?
A lot of glee, that, like you said, that sense of freedom, that sense of, hey, I can do what I want now. I can eat what I want, you know, sing how I want, listen to the music I want, do whatever I want, because you're not there to keep me in check. So there's a little bit of fun happening.
You open the story with this guy, Elliot Pepper. He just loves to sing, right? And it drove his wife nuts while they were working at home.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yeah, she hated his music. So he was, like, into Foo Fighters, Collective Soul, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and that was not her thing. And so she would tolerate his music for about 20 minutes, and then she'd be like, okay, back to my playlist. And so she's back in the office now that she's doing that. He is home alone and he is blasting out, you know, Chili Peppers. He's playing air guitar on his son's baseball bat. He's singing. Like, he's just this, he's 36 and he's like, I'm reliving my glory days.
Oh, that's funny.
How about
the couple? I think they were actually like elbow to elbow, like on Zoom meetings and stuff. And then he was complaining about her loud typing or angry and loud typing or something like that.
Yeah. And they were married 19 years and they thought they knew everything about each other. And then they start working from home and he's like, oh my goodness, you are the loudest typer on the planet. Like, you are, he started calling her the concentration breaker, and that her typing was forceful and angry. And she was like, look, I'm just being productive. Like, this is how I type. She even bought a new keyboard to appease him. Anyway, he's back at the office. He's enjoying the silence. And she's back to banging those keys as loud as possible.
Wow. How about the couple where I guess he didn't realize the video was on. He brings his wife coffee, right? Gives her a kiss on the head. And meanwhile, it's there for everybody to see.
I thought that was the sweetest thing. I was like, what a great guy, you know, catering to his wife during the workday like that. How nice. But then she was like, yeah, it was sweet. But everybody, you know, on my conference call then wanted to talk about him. Like, who is he? Where'd you meet him? You know, like, it was just, it wasn't really the conversation she was looking to have. And so now she's home by herself and he's back in his office. And, you know, they are still having like these little battles over the heat. They evidently have a Nest, you know, the heating system where you can control remotely from your phone. And so she likes to keep the heat, I think, around 72 degrees. He likes to keep it at 68 just to save money. And so he'll like go ahead and lower the heat on his using his mobile phone when she's home by herself working. She'd be like, this is my turf now. So she'll jack up the heat back to 72. Lately, she's been winning. And to commemorate her victory, she bought herself a 2.5-foot potted palm tree.
Oh, that's funny. Very good.
Trolling it a little bit.
We're speaking with Veronica Dagger, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got a funny story called When One Partner Goes Back to Work, the Home Office Gets Loud. How about this couple that created this like imaginary figure to blame every time they didn't like what somebody else was doing?
They won the creativity award.
Yeah.
They created this character called Blake. And Blake was completely imaginary. He was this imaginary coworker. So he would take the blame for the little annoyances. And it was their lighthearted way to mention grievances. So like, oh, Blake left the laundry out in front of my video call. He forgot to pick up his dishes. You know, he's making healthy snacks. He really should make brownies. Like, these little things, these little quirks. And The couple had a lot of fun with it. They said, you know, Blake was the worst. He was a terrible coworker. So they were thrilled when the woman's husband, he started his hospital residency. And so he was in the hospital. She had the house to herself. And now they fired Blake. But what's really funny is that they still have little things that irk each other. And so they now blame a new family member, which is their one-year-old baby.
Oh, wow. Very good. That's
jokingly, funny. Of course.
Right. That's funny. There was a couple, too. It might have been one of the ones we mentioned before, but they had, like, battles over the spinning bike, too.
Yes. So they had to do this whole scheduling, like, who gets the spin bike now versus later. And so one of them is back teaching it in the classroom. The other one's home alone. And he evidently has quite the Snickers habit. He loves to snack on Snickers. And she, I think, is a bit of a health nut and was saying, hey, you know, that's not good for you. And he's like, hey, I just went on the spin bike. I can do what I want. And so now that he's home alone, he is having his Snickers whenever he wants it. And there's no one to rib him about it. So he's having fun.
Thanks, Veronica. Veronica Dagger, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, what LSU students are not good at.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. So imagine you're in college looking to grab some food in between classes when an unexpectedly large and likely hungry animal comes crashing through the ceiling into your packed dining hall. That's a story LSU students will probably be laughing about with their kids someday after a raccoon caused a ruckus at a dining hall earlier this week. The university student newspaper said many students screamed and everyone stood up looking around for the animal, though at least one student went on with getting their food because they thought the raccoon was fake. One video showed the raccoon running between tables, then climbing onto a chair and looking around. Another shows people chasing it with a broom and a stick, or perhaps two brooms. A cook even tried to use a basket to catch it, leading to even more hilarity. Eventually, the animal was caught.
That demonstrated that LSU students are just not good at catching raccoons.
Is that what you meant by that? Because I heard that tease.
Yeah, that was
what are LSU students not good at?
They're not good at catching raccoons. And, well, and there were probably, I don't know, 30 people. Let's say there were 30 people visible in the video.
Yeah.
31 of them had phones, right, running around chasing the raccoon.
Right. Well, that's what happens in a situation like that with college kids, right? Everybody immediately takes out their phone. Nobody's actually trying to do anything to help the situation.
Right. Other than just chase. Or the one guy had the broom, right? And another guy had the garbage can, and everybody's just following them with phones trying to record
right.
this.
I mean, I guess you do. You know, we are taught when we're younger to sort of be careful of wild animals. There
yes.
could be rabies involved. You know, an animal that comes that close to humans is, you know, oftentimes sick or there's something wrong
yeah.
with them. So, yeah. I mean, just listening to what mom said when you were a kid, I think, in that situation, but also filming on your phone at the same time.
Did bring back college cafeteria memories, though.
Yeah.
At Rutgers, I think every day my freshman year, I had a chicken patty with cheese fries.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
pretty much my staple for like an
right.
entire year.
Right, and you stayed thin probably, right?
back then when the metabolism was great.
Yeah, yeah. You
yes.
were rail thin. You look, I could eat like this forever.
Right.
You adults and your diets.
Yeah, ate that and was still hungry
right.
you know, 2 hours later.
Yeah, and we know by now that social media can be surprising. The people who you think are going to be good at it oftentimes aren't, and vice versa. You could probably put Dick Butkus into the later category. The 79-year-old NFL Hall of Famer joined Twitter, and according to CBS has been tweeting nearly every day for the past few months, with every tweet more funny or absurd than the last one. His latest LOL moment comes after reports that Aaron Rodgers broke up with his fiance of more than a year, actress Shailene Woodley, to which Butkus tweeted this gem: "For all of you who have asked, I'm not the reason Shailene Woodley and Aaron Rodgers have broken up." Butkus also isn't shy about making fun of people or inept football teams, tweeting on February 2nd that it's Groundhog Day, which means the New York Jets have already been eliminated from playoff contention.
Ouch.
Of course, Jets fans had reason to fire back, pointing out that Butkus's Bears haven't exactly been tearing up the league in recent years either.
Okay, Jets fans, stop. Just stop.
Yes, leave the Hall of Famer alone.
Jets fans have just not a single leg to stand on. I mean, at least the Bears, like in recent memory have made the playoffs.
Right, yeah,
or,
sure.
You know, they won a, would you call it a modern day Super Bowl right after the 85 season?
That, I mean, yeah. You know, geez, that, that's, Louise. Yeah, that's true.
Jets just stop. Where's this coming from, by the way, with Butkus?
I mean, I don't know.
All of a sudden?
Hanging out, nothing to do, you know, yes. Just trying to get back in the mix again.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools, for the most part, have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security, all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet, so you can still enjoy the best of it, with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security.
The news, first, fast, and free of noise. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Fairly or not, people judge you for how you speak just as much as they do for what you say. Brilliant and hardworking as you may be, if your way of speaking comes across as immature or scattered, then people will probably have a hard time taking you seriously. Public speaking coach John Bowe, writing for CNBC Make It, stresses that the key to respect and credibility is to be direct, succinct, and informative. He said, do that by avoiding these types of words and phrases. Number one, during a presentation, don't read from your slides as if your audience is illiterate by saying things like, as you can see here. Number two, don't add asides to your remarks like, this data took weeks to get because our vendor was changing IT guys. Number three, avoid filler words such as, or, you know. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken, in a dramatic appearance at the UN, shared a grim assessment of what Russian forces could do to Ukraine if the Kremlin launched an invasion.
I am here today not to start a war, but to prevent one.
Blinken flew to New York at the request of U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who told reporters she requested Blinken to address the international forum because the drumbeat of war was sounding louder.
Number two.
The Senate voted in a rare bipartisan moment late Thursday to send a show of support for an independent Ukraine and warn against Russian military aggression toward its neighbor. The resolution does not carry the force of law, but puts the U.S. legislative body on record supporting Ukraine and condemning Russian aggression. The vote was unanimous.
Number three.
The Senate passed a short-term government funding bill, sending it to President Biden's desk hours before a shutdown deadline. The measure, which passed 65-27, will keep the government running through March 11th. Congress had to approve a spending plan before the end of the day today. A New York judge has ruled former President Trump and two of his adult children must comply with subpoenas that require them to answer questions under oath and turn over evidence for a civil investigation of him and the Trump Organization by the state's attorney general's office. Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Ivanka Trump were all ordered by the ruling to appear for depositions by investigators for Attorney General Letitia James within the next 21 days. The ruling is likely to be appealed. A sports saga filled with twists and turns ended with a disastrous performance. Kamila Valieva, the 15-year-old Russian figure skating phenom at the center of an Olympic doping scandal, dropped out of first place in her long program yesterday and then all the way outside of medal contention. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach had harsh words for the skater's coach and entourage, who appeared to criticize her performance as she left the ice in tears.
It was chilling to see this. Rather than giving her comfort, rather than to try to help her.
Appearing shaky from the start, Valieva made mistakes on her first four jumps before falling and then falling out of medal contention.
Yeah, warm and fuzzy are not words we use to describe the Russian skating
coach. It was very dramatic.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
Dell Technologies President's Day business sale has arrived. For a limited time, save up to 45% on all our latest gear to work from anywhere with fast, free shipping. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, so now's the time for incredible savings on PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping and quick installation and setup through Dell Installation Services. Get started by shopping online or by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. A thoughtful 10-year-old girl from Western New York is dedicating her time to crafting chemo comfort bags for hospital patients after seeing her grandfather battled pancreatic cancer. Fox News has the story of Sophie Enderton of Niagara County, who learned of her grandfather Terry's diagnosis in October of last year and set out to make comfort bags for chemo patients over the holiday season. With help from her family, the fifth grader put together crocheted bags and filled each with items meant to enhance comfort, including blankets, small pillows, games, word searches, cozy socks, and mitts. In December, Sophie and her family donated 10 comfort bags to chemo patients at the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, the same hospital where Grandpa Terry received treatment in Buffalo before he died in mid-December. The Endertons are currently putting together comfort bags with a new goal of delivering 20 of them to pediatric and adult cancer patients by the end of March. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.